It was canceled, and I'm sure there will be another new night for the painting with purpose. There was no online prayer request this morning, so I'll go right in with the order of the call. The scripture will be read by Michelle, the declaration by a wonderful Tanya. Prayer warrior number one will be Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two, Deborah Yvonne. Prayer warrior number three, E.K. Dawson. And closing today will be Dion. And I will repeat that. Declaration will be, scripture will be by Michelle. Declaration by Tanya. Prayer warrior number one will be Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two will be Deborah Yvonne. Prayer warrior number three will be E.K. Dawson. And closing us out will be Dion. Please do not forget to place your call on mute. You can use your standard mute button on your phone, or you can use star 6. Everyone have a wonderful day. And again, I want to thank you all for all of your prayers and traveling grace. It was so helpful. And don't forget to mute your lines as I pass the call to Michelle. I love you all. A Merry Christmas. Michelle, are you there? Is there anyone out that else that could grab a scripture this morning?
I can.
This is Ruth.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
No, go ahead.
Misty, go ahead.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Glasses. You go ahead, Ruth. I have my glasses on right at reach. Go ahead.
Okay. Look, we're both blind and see, because I have to grab my glasses, too. I'm ready.
Okay.
Thank you, Sonny, for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Ruth, so much.
Okay. And I'm coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. Thank you. Have a blessed day. I pass the call.
On the floor by my side.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is such a pleasure to greet you. This is my way of doing my sound check. Thank you so much for everyone that has participated in the call. Ruth, for being ready. You better go on, girl. I'm so excited to share the rest of this story that I started with you on last night. But before I do, and I apologize in advance for not getting this very close in, but we learned that our dear friend, former mayor of San Pablo, and if somebody could put your phone on mute, former mayor of San Pablo, Leonard McNeil, is experiencing some major health challenges, and he's a really good friend of Carl's. Just want to add his name to the list, Leonard McNeil, and I know we're praying for Ashling in her recent loss, but let's go ahead and get started, you all. Last week, we discovered a little about JoJo, a hardworking, studious young man that was a self-employed contractor. Believe it or not, he had never gone to anyone's church until he was 17 years old, and that one visit to a teen Bible class forever changed his life. He loved God, was a faithful tither and active participant in his church. He was single, no children, and engaged to the woman of his dreams, Mariska. Mariska was a member of the same church, had been all her life. She grew up there, as did her father, stemming back 5 generations. Her forefathers literally helped to pour the foundation and build the edifice. Her parents weren't main leaders in the church, but they were well-respected both in the church and the community based upon their family history. and because they were overall good people. Marishka's parents could come off as a little judgmental sometimes, especially her dad, Marvin. He wasn't self-righteous, but when he walked in a room, the God in him filled it up, made you want to lie. Excuse me, made if you were one prone to lying, made you not want to lie, cuss, or if you were high, like you had smoked your last, the best of the last chronic you had, it was a wrap because you would sober up. No lie at all. Or if there was an evil thought in your head, it seemed to ooze out on the floor and evaporate. Messed your whole day or night up, honey. That wasn't the case with JoJo's family. They were devout, but to the life. You know what I'm talking about. You name it, they did it. Did it well. And if they didn't know how to do it, it didn't take them long to figure it out. JoJo's people had a similar effect on people, except people didn't revere them, they feared them. And Marvin knew of them, like everyone else. So when JoJo asked for permission to marry his precious Marishka, he could hear the wheels turning in Marvin's head, something like this.
My name, Bishop Bullwacker. From the first church, nothing but the truth. Deacon Kyle, Deacon George, Deacon Clay, open the door, let them in, turn them loose. First, I want to thank God for the blood running warm in my veins. That's all right. Thank God for my life, health, and strength. I got a sound mind, not insane. Come on, come on. I ain't going to preach too long. Ain't going to take the service too far. My sermon this morning. Hell to the no, no, no. Come on, come on. Come on. Hell no. To the no, no, no. Hell to the no. Hell to the no. To the no, 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 no. Listen. Sister.
Oh, my God. Did he actually hear Marvin sing that song? It certainly felt like it, y'all. You could have cut the atmosphere with a butcher knife. No, with a plaque, with a fork. The tension was so thick. All because he wanted to marry the love of his life. At any rate, Marvin tried to use his controlling, authoritative posture on Marishka to sway her against marrying into that scandalous family, but it didn't work. She could be just as stubborn as her dad, and she wasn't budging. By the way, did I tell you guys the title of my declaration is Scandal? Well, we left off last week with JoJo having a restless night because of the news he received earlier from Marishka. How could this happen? He had done everything by the book, followed the pastor's advice, waited on God, completed the premarital classes, confirmed and reconfirmed this was his will, and now this. Could he be dreaming? Is somebody punking him? That's what it is. He's being punked, he thought to himself. But there were no hidden cameras or people coming out of the back room with a boom mic and a camera crew. This was as real as it could get. His first family scandal, and he was guilty by association again, just like with his biological family. He loved Marishka, but it was deuces now. He couldn't see himself marrying her and raising another man's baby. Yeah, you heard me. She was pregnant. She said that it was God. For real? Come on. He was born at night, but not last night. He wasn't raising no other man's baby. Been there, done that, didn't want the hat, T-shirt, and he doesn't eat chips of any kind. The greatest insult is that he had been abstinent all this time, which was no easy feat, especially with some of those thirsty women at that church. At least with the women from the street, you knew what time it was. They didn't camouflage their thirst with God bless yous and invitations to Bible studies and can you fix my this or that to get them to their house. As he lay in bed, his eyes filled with tears again, that he tried desperately to fight back, but he lost to them as they jumped out of his eyes and stung like red hot needles as they slowly cascaded down his cheeks and formed pools in his ears that ultimately spilled over down his neck onto the pillowcase that was already wet. God, he whispered in a cracked voice, this is so unfair. I've been faithful in times when it wasn't easy. I've honored you. And the woman that I thought you'd give it to me, I feel lost and betrayed, and I don't know what to do. Help me, God. As his thoughts raced and bounced from one horrible thought to the next, this quote popped in his mind. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Proverbs 3:24. He yielded his eyes to the heaviness that he began to experience, and before you knew it, he was overshadowed with a type of rest he had never experienced. And then he dreamed this dream. While he was trying to figure a way out, God's angel spoke in this dream, Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. Matthew 1:20-23. Joseph woke up 3 minutes before his alarm went off, feeling refreshed, renewed, and he had a plan. Yes, indeed, he had a plan. He was going to marry his girl, no doubt about it. If it wasn't a shame and they hadn't spent all that money, he would go get her, take her to the courthouse, and marry her today. He had a peace that he couldn't understand, like that described in his favorite book from Philippians 4:7. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. He needed to tell Mariska, but a text was inappropriate, and calling her this early wouldn't work. He got dressed, completed his devotion, ran out the house, stopped by Safeway, got her favorite flowers, and showed up unannounced at her job to tell her that he was sorry, to ask for her forgiveness. He got down on his knees one more time and told her he still wanted to marry her if she would have him. Fast forward 8 months. Mariska, he called her Mari for short, has had an incredible event-free pregnancy, no morning sickness, swollen feet, nothing. You couldn't even tell she was pregnant unless you saw her from the front. A perfect round little ball. In fact, she could still get into her favorite pair of jeans. Only thing was, she couldn't zip them up. JoJo had grown to love that seed of joy as if he had planted it there himself. He couldn't wait to get home to play with his, to play with, read to, sing, or talk to his son. Yes, that was his son. God had entrusted him with this precious, amazing baby. You know, what's ironic is that the baby seemed to respond to JoJo's voice whenever he spoke to him. Sometimes JoJo would lay his head on Mari's stomach as he would poke his stomach, and the baby would seem to poke back at him. It was an amazing bonding time for the three of them. As much as he wanted his wife, he vowed not to have sexual intercourse with her until she had that baby. They found other ways to be intimate, and it was magical. JoJo got word that he needed to go home, not now, but right now. He couldn't fully explain it to make sense, but he had to leave, and he wasn't going anywhere without his family. Against everyone's advice, he packed up the SUV with the specific things they needed, and they left in the middle of the night. Mari never complained. Her life was in God's hands, and she believed in her heart this must have been a part of God's plan as well. The trip was hard on her. She had to pee every 30 minutes or so. She was going to deliver any day now, and JoJo knew it, but he had to get home. They finally arrived, but every room in the city was booked, and Mari could travel no further. Someone was kind enough to allow them to stay in a garage. Can you believe that? A garage. They gave them a space heater, and all of a sudden, whoosh, Mari's water broke. It was freaking him out. There was no time to get her to the hospital. She was going to have their baby tonight. He saw some stuff on YouTube, but he never thought that he would be helping her to deliver a baby. He got her comfortable as he possibly could. He was afraid to leave her. He wanted to get some help. He had no cell signal, so he couldn't call 911, and there was nobody in the vicinity. He didn't want to yell for help because he didn't want to freak her out, but he was freaking out on the inside. She did so well. He did the best to make her comfortable. He took the sleeping bag out of the car. He prepped it. There was no time to get any hot water or anything. At least he didn't know what he would do with that. He'd seen it on a bunch of movies before, but it was time for her to deliver. Things happened so quickly, and all of a sudden, in one amazing push, his son was in the world. It was magical. It was like something that was surreal. He had never experienced anything like this. But he was literally holding his son in his arms. He got the blanket that Mary had told him to get, and he got a towel, and he wiped the baby off, and one more push, and the afterbirth was out. He knew that he needed to get her the help that she needed because he didn't want her to hemorrhage. But somehow, he still had this unresolved peace, the peace that I had talked about, that perfect peace that no one can explain. He wiped his son off, and he whispered a prayer over him, and man, it was like magic. Firecrackers were going off on the inside. He was happy, and he was relieved, and he wasn't anxious, but he was excited. He held promise in his arms. He looked at his wife. He looked in her tender eyes and said, "Baby, we did it. He's here." This is Emmanuel, God with us, as I pass the call to Patty.
Good morning, Father. We come to you this morning, Father God. Excuse me. We thank you, Lord God, for your love, Lord God. We thank you for your mercies, Lord, and Father, and just your grace. Father, I'd just like to come to you right now, Lord, and I thank you for JC, who greeted us this morning, Susie, who hosted us this morning, and Ruth, who stood in and did the scripture. And thank you, Tanya, for your declaration, Lord. I thank you for each that are going to follow behind me, Deborah Calhoun. I'm not really sure who the rest of the people are, but mm-hmm. I just pray, Lord God, that you would just pour back into to them, Lord, all that they're pouring out. Father, we thank you for another morning, another day, Lord God, to get right the things today that we didn't get right yesterday, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you give us that opportunity again, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you that you would just be with each one of us today, Lord, and whatever that you have us do, Lord. Everybody pretty much said that they were done with their Christmas shopping. But, Father, I pray for those who have to step out and and get something because they forgot some ingredient or what have you, a gift for someone, whatever it is, that you would just cover them, Father God, so that while they're out there, you protect them. Father, I stepped out yesterday for a minute, and it was crazy. I mean, I almost said forget it, but I had to get something. So I just pray for protection, Lord. I've seen a fight in the store and just crazy things, Lord God. I pray that you just put your hands on all those who are out there and have to be out there. Father, I'd like to lift up Chris and Kendra to you right now, Lord, as they're going through some difficulties in their marriage right now, Lord. And I pray for them, but I pray also, I lift up the kids to them, Lord. I pray that you would protect them during this time of heartache in their family, Lord God, and that you just cover their little hearts, Lord, so that they're not penetrated during this time, Father. Protect them. And all those who are having some problems or issues in their marriage right now, I pray that you would just be with them, Lord God, and that you would just touch each one of them, Father. Father, I just want to lift up Ashlyn to you, Lord God, as she's going through this time. I just pray that you would touch her life, Lord, and her family, all that are involved, and all who have something to do with Ashlyn's life. I pray that you would be with them at this time, Lord, and that you would comfort her today like no other. I thank you, Father, for her, and I pray that you would continue to be with her, Lord God. I pray for Sister Julia, Lord God, who was asking for prayer for herself and her family, Lord God, and also was so consistent in praying for Declare Victory, Father. I lift up each person who is on this line this morning, Father, and I pray that you would be with them, Lord, and that you would cover them with the blood of Jesus for protection during this time, Father. And I thank you for each family who's represented on this call, Lord, and also for those who have prayer requests who didn't lift, that didn't speak them out. I pray that you would be with each one of those requests, Lord God, and that you would continue to just be with this our call, Lord. I just pray that you agree with our prayer line and that you would cover each one of us that are on it, Lord God, and that you would just speak to those who have not spoken that want to speak, Lord God, that you would give them the boldness that they need to be able to say, even if it's just saying good morning, but that they do something different, Lord. And I pray for that right now. And I pray for all those that are traveling this morning or the next couple of days. I pray for safety for them, Lord God. Those who are flying or driving to be with family, I pray for their safety getting to their locations that they need to be at, Lord God. I pray for the mayor of San Pablo, I believe his name is Leonard. Father, I pray that you would just touch his body right now. He's having some health difficulties, Father God, and we know that you're a God of healing, Father God. So I pray that you would step in, Lord, and that you would be with him and that you would allow him to, I don't know if he knows what the issues are, but if not, Lord, I pray that you would give the wisdom and knowledge to the doctor to be able to help him, Lord, and to walk him through this time, Lord. I also lift up Deborah and Monica Evans, Lord, and I continue to pray for them during this time, Father God, of holidays. And I pray that you would be with Monica, Lord God, and I pray that you continue to grow her, Lord God, in you, Father, and that you would just be with them during this holiday season, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for just waking each one up. Lord, I pray for our young kids that are on our line. Lord, I ask that you would be with them this morning. And I just thank you for them honoring us, Lord. I thank you for having an opportunity, Lord, to come to you. I thank you for me being able to come to you at any time, Lord, and we lift up all prayers, Father. And I just like to pray for my mom, Lord, during this time. I ask that you would just continue to keep her comfortable and that you would give her your peace, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity of being able to pray with her, to be able to sit down and sing with her, Lord. And even yesterday, I read her, the word to her, Lord. I just watched the tears trickle down her cheeks, Lord. And so I thank you, Father, for prompting me to even do that. And I thank you for this time, Lord God, in Jesus' name, as I pass the call. Amen.
So, Father God, as we humbly come before you this morning to say thank you and how much we love you, I ask you to pour back into everyone that has gone before me and the ones that will go after me, Father God. We thank you on this Christmas Eve for the gift of your Son, Jesus, whom paid the price of our past, present, and future sins. The gift of your love when we did not love you. The gift of not giving up on us when we were disobedient. The gift of life this day. The gift of health this day. The gift of family this day. The gift of your righteousness this day. And your gift of grace and mercy. We thank you from our hearts to yours for the gift you have given to each of us. And I pray that each family will be blessed this holiday.
Her call may have dropped.
Can somebody jump in for Deborah, please?
Holy Father, as we come before you this morning, we just want to say thank you. We just want to thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Father, we want to thank you for your holiness. We want to thank you for your mercy. And we want to thank you for your forgiving nature. Father God, as we come before you, we lift all those hearts that are heavy on ours before your throne. We ask that you manifest your presence and you let your spirit, Father, move through their lives to let them know that the gift of this season is still giving. We thank you for your Son, Father God, your only begotten Son, that precious part of you that you put inside us, Father, that you gifted us with to show us the way back home. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that your mercy extends to us even to this day. When we failed you so many times, Father, when we neglected you, when we've trivialized you, Father, when we've known that you'd always be there, so we weren't so focused on seeking you because we knew you'd be there. Father God, forgive us. Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, Father. Lift us and strengthen us, Father. Help us to focus on transferring that gift, the gift of salvation that you gave to us, to others, Father. Help us to be good and ready witnesses, Father, before our neighbors, the ones that don't know you, the ones that don't love you, the ones that deny your existence. Help us, Father, to mirror your holy, beautiful qualities.
Hello?
Father God, we pass the call in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm so sorry. My call dropped, you guys. I'm so sorry. I couldn't get back on. So the gift of not giving up on us, Father God, and we thank you that we have the gift of life this day and the gift of health this day, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that each family will be blessed this holiday and they will walk in your grace of love and peace and that the word spoken will be life and not death. We thank you that your blessing upon each home. And we thank you for your blood to cover each home in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up all who have lost loved ones, and I ask you to surround all of them with your love. I ask you to heal the brokenhearted, and we thank you that you are the beginning and the end. And even when we do not understand, we trust and believe you, Father. We ask you to take away the spirit of heaviness and to replace it with your love and joy in Jesus' name. And we lift up all of our children to you. We dedicate them to you that they are being raised at your desire and they will follow the path that you have chose for them. And we ask that we as parents will not provoke our children, but to encourage them with words of life and hope in you. And we pray that each of us help our children to grow and to prosper in all areas of their lives unto you, Father.
And we thank you that we all have your grace of believing to do our part unto you. And I lift up marriages, and I thank you for your blessings on each marriage. We thank you that both are in agreement. And even if at times they do not agree, they agree to disagree without attitude, but to respect and love. We thank you that they honor and respect their spouse, and they will always pray for each other before you, and for you to help each of them have patience with each other. And Lord, help them to realize their marriage is not unto the world, but unto you. And Father, I pray for us singles, that we will let go of all bitterness of our past relationships in the areas of strife, anger, rejection, abandonment. We thank you for healing our broken heart and giving us strength from your word to trust and believe you. We choose to forgive those whom have hurt us because you have forgiven us. And we choose you to be the head of our lives, and we honor you to bless us in our future. And Father, we lift up our co-workers, neighbors, and enemies. We ask you to bless them and to help us to be a shining light unto them. We ask you to help us to be kind, mindful, and tender-hearted towards them. And we pray that if any do not know you, they will have a desire to know you by watching you in us. And we thank you that your goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life. In the name of Jesus, I seal these prayers in his name as I pass the call. Thank you.
So most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come saying thank you, Lord, for this. God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, God, your loving kindness, for it is better than life. God, we thank you that you, we have a right to the tree of life. God, I thank you this morning for Joseph, who reached past stereotypes, and Mary, who was willing to render her body and even her reputation in the eyes of the normal people, God, to make sure that your son arrived and that we have access, great and mighty, sovereign God. God, I thank you that you've given us the ability on today, Lord, to supersede the expectation of others, God, but to reach way deep down on the inside, God, and to stand on the things that you've given us to do in purpose and in love, God, for your glory, for your victory to be established in the earth. God, we thank you this morning for every opportunity, God, your kingdom. God, we thank you for every 6 a.m. phone call. We thank you, Lord God, for every prayer. We thank you, Father God, for every man, every woman of God, every willing vessel, God, that'll stand on your promises and declare them from the rooftops. God, we thank you for relationship. We thank you for reconciliation while Joseph didn't have to assume the responsibility, God, that he did. God, I pray for every man given an opportunity to be father or mentor to a son or a daughter. God, they would have the spirit of Joseph in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for every assignment to lives, Lord God, that you've already established from the very foundation of the earth, oh God. That situation or circumstance is, God, that you already have a plan for our lives. You knew that there would be a Jesus. You knew that there would be a Redeemer. God, you knew that there would be another opportunity to the right to the tree of life. God, and this morning I say thank you. God, as we are walking into the celebration of the birth of Jesus, God, help us to remember that it's not about us receiving gifts. Help us to remember that it's not even about us giving gifts, God, but that you are a great gift, the giver of life. Lord God, we thank you this morning that you are
Sovereign God. God, I lift up every prayer request this morning. God, every petition, God. I ask, oh God, that not only you cover it, not only that you answer it, God, but that you blow our minds with the results of having access to the great gift. God, I thank you this morning that we have the ability to come before the throne of grace. God, that it doesn't have to be eloquent or fancy, that it doesn't have to be perfect or full of scripture even, because of Mary and because of Joseph, God, that you sent us a great intercessor. God, that if we can't formulate our words right, God, that if we don't say it the way people expect us to say it, God, that we don't have to pray fancy public prayers, God, we can say, God, we need you. We need you every day, God, every hour, God. We need you to be our strength, God. We need you to be our hope, God. We need you to protect our children. God, we need you to restore our marriages. God, we need you to keep us abstinent and celibate. God, we need you to meet every need, God. We need you, Lord God, to guard our thoughts, God. We need you to transform our hearts, God. We need you to transfigure our ideas and our identity. God, that because of Jesus, God, that we can say whatever it is that you placed on our heart, God, and your son is there to transition it. Answer to your prayer, God. Thank you this morning for the desires of our heart. God, thank you this morning, God, because you centered it in the middle of your will. God, we thank you that while we're praying, you're yet answering. God, that you would heal and deliver in the name of Jesus. God, there are some sick amongst. Heal their land, Lord God. God, some of our children are wayward. God, touch, move, heal, and deliver in the name of Jesus. There are loved ones that are unsaved. God, save unto sanctification. God, we thank you this morning that we can ask whatever we will. God, some financial need this morning. God, meet their need in the name of Jesus. God, somebody's fearful and full of anxiety this morning. God, comfort and give peace in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you this morning that no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstance, God, jobless, God, somebody's God, we've watched you do it over and over again. God, we know you can do it again in the name of Jesus. God, somebody's struggling in their mind right now. God, I lift up Eric in the name of Jesus. God, you know all about him in the name of Jesus. God, I lift up my son right now. God, as the holidays approach, God, be his comfort, God. His protection, God. Lord God, keep and guard his mind in the name of Jesus. God, somebody is hurting and broken this morning. God, somebody's marriage is on the rocks, God. Be my intercession. God, intercede on my behalf, God, because I asked you. God, I don't have a whole bunch of fancy words this morning. God, I can just say that I know without a shadow of a doubt that we need you, God. I lift up Arthur Weldon McFarland, God. You know all about him. You know every broken place, God. You know every hurt, God. You know every indiscretion. In the name of Jesus, heal and deliver. Lift, restore, and revive, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I'm praying that every father to a son, God, every father to a daughter, God, that you would remind them of their greatness. God, that you would remind them of their ability to be great, God, that you call them out in the name of Jesus. God, I lift up Marcus and Lauren, God. You know all about them. God, you are the God of restoration, God. You are the God of reconciliation, God. Do it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for every child, oh God, right now in the foster care system, God, that they're feeling abandoned and rejected, God, that they've been called redeemed, God, but God, that you would meet every need, God, that you would comfort their heart, God, some of them newly transitioned during the holidays, God, that you'd catch every tear. here, God, and keep it, Lord God, that it would bless you in the name of Jesus. God, I'm praying somebody lost a loved one, God. God, heart is heavy this morning. God, I'm praying that you would be their comfort, God, that you would be their strength and their shield, God, that you would be everything they need in this. God, somebody homeless right now. Ain't Christmas tree, God. There are no presents, God. Somebody's feeling suicidal because of it, God. Lord God, touch their mind right now in the name of Jesus. God, heal and deliver, God. Be their provision, God, in the name of Jesus. God, this morning, somebody's celebrating life this morning. God, somebody has got their hope and restored, been somebody this morning. God, help us to rejoice with those who rejoice in the name of Jesus. God, this morning, I thank you that we can celebrate a true and living God. I thank you this morning that we can celebrate an all-seeing, all-knowing God. I thank you this morning that because, God, we can not only face tomorrow, God, but that we have victory in every hour, God. I declare and decree by the power of the blood of the Lamb that we are your children, God. I thank you this morning that you call us friend, God. I thank you this morning that you are our people. I thank you this morning, God, that you are Emmanuel. I thank you this morning, God, that you are Jehovah Nisei, God. Thank you this morning, God, that Jehovah Rapha, God, that you are El Elyon, God. Thank you this morning, God, that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, God. I thank you this morning that you are El Shaddai, God. I thank you this morning, God, that you are everything that we, God. I thank you this morning for being the great I am, God. And as we take our phones off mute, God, we because of the day that we celebrate, God.
Hallelujah.
Your birth, oh God, changed from the foundation of the earth, God. God, it gave life in the name of Jesus. God, it gave hope in the name of Jesus. And for the wise men that traveled from afar, God, to see the great I am, God. I thank you this morning that we come dead, God. God, we give you our hearts, God. We give you our minds, God. God, we give you our spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we declare and decree that you are our righteousness, God. God, we believe that you are our hope, God. We thank you this morning, God, that no matter what the situation, God, that because you live, God, we have hope, God. Thank you, God, that I said thank you, Jesus, because you live, God, because you were born, God, the favor of the I thank you, Lord God, that your blood paid the price on Calvary's cross, God. I thank you that you didn't stay there, God. I thank you, Lord God, that 3 days later, God, you made my life in heaven, God.
Thank you. We No weapon, 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 no weap
We know in you we live, we move, we have our being. There is hope in you. There is peace in you. There is joy and love and strength and guidance, understanding and wisdom in you, God. We know it without a shadow of a doubt, God, and no matter what it looks like, God, no matter what it feels like, God, we know that you are for us, God. And so for that alone, because you are everything that we need, God, we lift our hands this time. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. It's in the matchless name of Jesus. I ask it all as I pass the call back to our host for today.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we prepare to go into Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call, are there any first-time callers that join the call that would like to announce themselves? Okay, we're all family still. So is there anyone else that joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, this is Kedra.
Good morning, Kedra.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Janet.
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Ravonda.
Good morning, Ravonda.
Good morning, Susie. It's Andrew.
Good morning, Brother Andrew.
Good morning, Sinai J. Good morning, everyone. Love you
good
all.
Good morning, Sinai J.
Good morning,
anyone
Barbara.
Else? Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, it's Bridget.
Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning, it's Josiah.
Good morning, Josiah. Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Nigel.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Bridget.
Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning.
Hurry.
Good morning, it's Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony. I love to hear all you little ones.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anyone else?
Good
well,
morning,
then,
this is Bernice.
Good morning, Bernice. Well, at this time, I will pass the call on to Tanya. Before I do, everyone have a very Merry Christmas. And you little ones, I know you're excited that Santa will come. And God bless you all. I love you all as I pass the call to Tanya.
Good morning. Thank you, Susie, for doing an amazing job as usual.
Thank you, Tanya.
You're welcome. And good morning to everyone else. Well, instead of just opening the call up to everyone first, I want to share something with you. I had an amazing conversation with my son last night just to get an idea from him what it was like when his baby mama was pregnant with their first son. And, you know, just to get, because I know what it's like to be a woman and be pregnant and how we bond, or how I bonded with my children, but I didn't really know from a man's perspective what it was like. So it was, we had, my little quick question turned into about a 45 minute conversation when he reflected on the special time, you know, when he found out that she was pregnant. It was unexpected. His emotions and his thought process and how it changed him, helped him to slow down, and the things that he wanted for his son, and then, you know, he was blessed with three others. The last one, and I've shared this before, and I want to tie this in, the last one, Emmanuel, will be four in January. Emmanuel absolutely stole my heart. He's very funny style. He don't really like nobody but his daddy. But every time I see him, we get a little closer. The ironic thing is that Emmanuel is not his biological son, but he is still our baby. And you can't tell Emmanuel that that's not his daddy. Emmanuel, his name literally is Emmanuel. We call him Manny. Kimon found out when Manny was about a year and a half old that's not his biological son, and all of us said it doesn't matter. You know, we bonded with him. That is he's our relative. That is the youngest grandchild that we have. And so I say that because while I cannot completely identify with Joseph, about being he's not the biological father of Jesus, I can kind of identify with the bond and the love, because the love is not any different from any of my other biological grandchildren. I love that little boy. You know, I was heartbroken when he broke his leg. Like, I wanted to, I don't know, it was everything, it took everything within me to keep me from just getting up as soon as I found out to go to the hospital to check on him. And it was as if I felt, you know, the pain myself. Anyway, so I won't ramble anymore. What I want to do is I want to first open the call up to the men. I want to give them, those that will, I want to give them an opportunity to speak first. And what I want to know is, what was it like for you when you first discovered that your wife or your baby's mother or ex-wife or whatever, the mother of your child, what was that like for you when you discovered that she was pregnant?
Hello, this is Brother Eric.
Hey, Brother Eric.
Can anybody hear me? Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Wonderful declaration.
Thank you.
And I love the variation of the Christmas story. To tell you the truth, honestly, because I was 15 at the time, mine was not the traditional. It was more of a panic. It was more of shock, because you know I was not expecting my daughter. Although I love her and adore her, and I never call her an accident, but at the time, I was probably maybe just only a year older than what is traditionally called Mary. Mary was thought to be about 14 or 15 when she was pregnant with along with Joseph. But I think my initial reactions was kind of fear. It was kind of panic. It turned to determination. After Latrice was born, because I still had to work out my senior year. I still had to graduate, and I wanted to graduate in the top percent of my class. So my initial reaction turned to determination and to prove everybody that I was up to the job, that, you know, even though I was still very much a very young man, that I could still achieve what I set out to do and also take care of my daughter.
Thank you, Eric. Anybody else want to share? Any other man? Okay. Well, maybe you guys are reflecting. Is there a lady on the phone on the call that knows from conversations with her child's father what their feelings were? And would you be willing to share? Okay. Well, maybe y'all gonna think on it a bit. Can anybody identify with being guilty by association? The people you hang with, the people you live with, the people that you are related to have a reputation, and because of their reputation, good or bad, people assume the same about you. Can anybody identify with that? And if so, would you be willing to share? Am I on mute? Hello? Okay, well, maybe
the declaration.
Yeah, who is this?
Oh, this is Dee Dee. I was trying not to double mute myself. I don't normally do that, so I couldn't get off. But I can speak to when I remember when I was pregnant at 18 and when I had to share that with the father, you know, my husband. His initial reaction, although we were young and it wasn't expected, it wasn't the normal panic. I mean, I'm sure he panicked. I was more panicked than he was because I knew my father was going to be disappointed in. Miss Doris probably was just, you know, I don't want to talk about what I thought she was going to do. But it didn't go that way. And unfortunately, you know the story, Demetrius didn't make it into this world, but I think that has forever changed him as a man. And so, yeah, he was excited about being a father, even though we weren't married at the time and we lost the baby. But what it did was when we had our son, Armani, I could still remember the joy because of you know, what we had gone through, the tragedy. So the blessing when Armani was born, and I remember when he first saw his son, that I'll never forget, just his expression and the joy that he had to see his son born. So, yeah, again, for us, it wasn't the traditional shock because we were young and unwed. It was actual excitement. That's it. I love you. Your declaration was wonderful as always. I love, this is one of my favorite stories, of course, and I wish you have a Merry Christmas, my sister.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you so much. My first pregnancy, I was 17, and it was nothing. It was not joy at all. No, excuse me, I was 16. I had the baby, my daughter, at 17. It was not joy at all. I was confused and absolutely scared because my daddy is a pastor. He was pastoring then, little small church. Everybody knew everything. But I was determined that I was going to have this baby. I didn't care what anybody thought. I wasn't marrying nobody, even though that was a choice that I was given. I'm not marrying you. I made two mistakes. I made one mistake. I don't have to make two. For some reason, I knew that I wasn't ready to get married at 16 or 17. And again, like Eric, I love my children. I don't consider them a mistake. She grew me up really, really fast, and I felt, I felt this connection with him. It's really unexplainable, and that's one of the things that my son tried to explain to me. He said that when his girl was pregnant, they would read to the baby, they would let the baby hear music, they would play the music for the baby, he would talk to the baby, and he said that it seemed as if the baby responded to him. He would kind of poke her stomach a little bit, and Bimon would poke back at him, and it was just amazing, and I thought then, oh, maybe that's how dads bond with their children, because as a mom, when you're carrying the baby, you know, you're rubbing your stomach. Well, not everybody, but for, you know, you're rubbing the stomach, you begin to know their movements about the time when they kick frequently, and, you know, you begin, and they can hear. Science has proven that they can hear. I don't know how much they can hear, but they proved it. And then he said that when he was born, it seemed as if he knew his voice instantly. And when he was born, he said it was just hard to describe it. The joy that he felt, the excitement that he felt. He wasn't scared. Even though it was unprepared, it helped to give him some stability in his really rocky life at the time. So anyway, anybody else want to share about, an experience like that? Or like I said, the question was on the floor. Maybe that was too deep. Being guilty by association. You didn't do it, but somebody in your family did it, or somebody in your family lived a certain lifestyle, and people judge you based upon that. Anybody else want to share or respond to that? Okay. Let's go back to, Joseph. I'm going a little kind of like back and forth here. Joseph's situation, you know, not knowing what he should do. I'm sure I'm not the one that's on the line that is dealing with me. Somebody needs to mute your line. There's some background noise. I don't want to mute you just in case you might want to speak, but if you could go ahead and mute. Thank you. What was I saying? That decision, that indecisiveness, you think you're doing all of the right things. At least you think you are. you're being obedient to God's word. You are, you know, you're giving everything that you think you're supposed to do. You're doing it. And this trial comes out of nowhere and literally knocks you off your feet. What are your coping mechanisms? Like, how do you respond initially? Anybody?
Hey, Tanya, this is Deborah Yvonne. Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay, because it's a lot of noise. What happens with me is when a trial comes at me and it hits me blindsided, and just recently I just had one. But you know,
hello?
Her call must have called that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, and I want to make sure that I'm not talking about a little ooh, the bill is late. I'm talking about something devastating. Like, that was devastating for Joseph. If you think about it, he was a good dude. Not just in the story. He was a good guy. He loved Mary. He had been faithful. She pops up pregnant. That's a big deal. It's embarrassing. It is the absolute perfect recipe for scandal. And he's going to be included in the scandal, no matter how much she say that the Holy Spirit made her pregnant. That she, you know, I can imagine they probably thought she needed to be in the nut house if they had one back then. But at the same token, knowing her life and how she had lived her life and how much she loved God, that's not something that you could hide, right? I guess what I'm trying to formulate is that don't believe everything that you hear, especially when it's completely out of character for somebody. You know, if you get some news about somebody doing something or how they messed up, don't engage in the conversation and start chopping it up with people. Pray for the person. They need some prayer at that point. They could be, you know, they could be guilty of what people say, or they could just be a victim of some malicious lies. And those hurt, that hurts the worst, especially when you've been doing the things that you know you should be and you get caught up in something. But knowing that we win in the end and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Deborah, did you get back on the line? Okay.
Tanya, good morning. This is Tim.
Good morning.
If I understand your question correctly, then I'm going to give this answer. There was a pastor at a church, and he was accused what seemed to be allegedly some type of child molestation. It turned out to not be true. It was one of his family members had said that he had was involved in some inappropriate behavior with him. And it made me feel a little uncomfortable associating with him at that time because of what the stigma was from the whole church. And I was one of the ministers, and it felt a little strange. I felt like I wanted to distance myself because of the down turning of noses that people had. It turned out that it wasn't true, but during the time it was very bad because of police were involved and an arrest was made, and it looked really bad. And so if you're saying guilty by association, I wouldn't go that far, but it just made me feel uncomfortable, and other people too, you know, with associating with him. And then he came out on top and went on to another church, started another church, has a congregation and all of that. But there still just seems to be that black cloud
that still exist. I communicate with them, you know, but if I'm answering your question right, that would be my answer and experience with that, being associated with someone who was accused of something, you know, terrible, and you didn't want to be associated with that person, thinking somehow it might reflect on you negatively. So does that fit in?
That's exactly. That's one part of it. So there are the people who are maybe not related, like in your case, like you just described, but then there are instances where somebody is, they're accused, they're made to be, or people decide in their minds that they're guilty too because they are related to or hang out with that person. But yes, right on point. You know, and you raised an interesting, you made an interesting comment, which helped me to remember something. Sometimes people get they get shade from other people, that's how you use it correctly, because they don't want to be associated. They don't want people to think that they condone or support or what have you, the behavior. And so people end up being isolated because, you know, people start to isolate them, you know. And it can be tough. It can be tough on the person who hasn't done anything. It can be tough on the people that are trying to offer support, not really sure, but maybe they got a spaghetti back and they're concerned about perception of other people, you know, and so they will disappear. It takes a strong individual to continue to support someone, you know, especially when you believe in your heart that whether they're guilty or not, you know, sometimes people mess up and they do some stuff, right? That doesn't mean that we're supposed to kick them to the curb. It doesn't mean that they can't be forgiven. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to judge them. Because, again, given the right set of circumstances, everybody on this call is subject to do something, to run out, as Didi Sharif would say, given the right set of circumstances. And some of us have done some stuff that just hasn't been exposed, right? So I'm learning to try. 1 second, Ken. I'm learning to try to live my life in the judge-free zone, not knowing all of the facts, you know, not speculating, but offering a prayer, and if it's possible, offering some support. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the thing that really supported people thinking that it was true is that when you saw some other pastors across the country that were proven to be involved in that kind of behavior. So, of course, you know, that helped people think that it was true. But it turned out not to be true. But because of stories that we heard coming up from other churches, pastors being involved in that kind of behavior, it helped support people's mindset, even though this brother was innocent. You know, and I know people right now who have developed that dislike for him, and they have not accepted him back, you know, being, you know, an innocent person. And I know it was hard for him. I know it was a struggle. His family broke up behind it because a young person was a relative of his wife's, you know, so it got pretty bad, you know, but he remained in there. Like I said, he's come out on top, but that stigma is still there. And sometimes it makes you wonder deep down inside, even if he was innocent in that particular case, were there any others, or even just his, it makes you start to look at him even past that. You start looking back on times you may have had conversations, you start looking for signs, or did you see any signs that may have pointed in that direction? Just to clear your own mind, you just start, it's just kind of a normal thing for you to do the research in your own mind, you know, because sometimes when people are innocent, they may not be innocent because they didn't do it. It may be innocent because they didn't have the proof that they were guilty, you know.
Right.
So anyway, that's it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys are in Christmas mode or whatever, or maybe the conversation is not stimulating enough, but what I don't want to do, I know it's Christmas Eve, a lot of you are cooking your starting to cook, and some of you may be out at the stores or getting ready to go to the stores to do your last-minute shopping or what have you. I don't want to hold you unnecessarily because I, too, need to run out and do some things. So line is really, really quiet this morning. Maybe you guys are just in that space where you are.
Tanya.
Yes.
This is Patty, and
Patty.
I will share a personal. If it's okay, I'll share something mm-hmm. personal that where I was actually involved in. And so my oldest daughter, Shyla, I got pregnant with her with my husband. Well, he wasn't my husband at that point. And I grew up in a church that, very judgmental. Actually my parents remained in this church. But when I got pregnant, it was like I had, some kind of plague. And people didn't want to be, they didn't really want to associate with me. And at that point, I had that attitude where, I didn't really care, whether you wanted to associate with me at all. And I was still with, he was my husband, which is husband of father of all my three kids. But, we remained together, and he said, maybe we should get married. And I was kind of like you. I don't want to get married, but I don't want to get married because, that's what society says that we need to do if that's not what we plan to do. And there was only a couple of adults there. I mean, I was of age, well of age. I was 19, but or 18, maybe 19. And eventually, yes, we did get married. But during that process at the church, just being ridiculed for, something that, where I had made a mistake, my attitude wasn't completely right either because I, like I said, I had that attitude where I didn't care whether they liked me or not. But there was one lady in the church, because even, my dad was very understanding. He was the one that I thought I was going to have the most problem, was going to be, he was going to beat me. I did kind of think that he was going to, things weren't going to go the way that they ended up going. But, my mom kind of jumped on the bandwagon with them, with the rest of the people. But there was one lady in the church who supported me. I mean, I knew her as a child. She had kids that were my age. She supported me to the very end, even to this day right now. When Shyla got married in July, she was a part of the wedding. She participated in the showers and helping. But there was one person who loved me regardless, no matter of, the fact that, I got pregnant or not. She supported me. And I have to say that one particular lady was the one person who I probably remained the closest with, just because she loved me in spite of the mistake. And I will never say, as all have said, that she was, that Shadow was a mistake, because I don't feel that she was a mistake. But that just wasn't something that was correct. And so I was just being a little bit transparent. But I've been a product of people probably not wanting their children to hang out with me. And again, I had that attitude of, okay, well, whatever, I'm moving on. You guys are not going to hold me down. And, of course, I was in college full time, so I continued to excel in all the things that I did, probably because I was determined that nothing was going to stop me. But at that, eventually at that point, I ended up, after Shara got to a certain age, we left the church. We did leave the church. I did end up getting married, and, we had two other kids. But, it's a painful moment to go through, let me tell you. So there was a part of me that didn't care, but then there was a part of me that was really hurt because originally I started out as being this kid that was loved, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was like I had some type of disease. That's all.
Patty, it's amazing how similar our experiences are. The missus can probably remember some of this, too, if she's on the line. But I, too, had, there were actually two women in my life that helped me because I became so bitter behind it. Now, I wasn't saved. I wasn't trying to be saved. It was I was a sinner doing what sinners do. And, you know, but I, you know, I wasn't faking it. Like, I just got caught up as an irresponsible kid. And I had, it is a disease in the church. It's called sin. And the only people that sin, you would think, are the ones that get caught, not the ones that do stuff behind closed doors. Because there's some other ones that was doing the stuff that I was doing, that was professing that he say. They went and took care of their business, though. All kind of stuff happened, but there were two women in my life that God placed. One of them is Joyce Gray. I call her my favorite Bible school teacher. But I had become so bitter so quick that I had this wall up that I almost didn't believe her. Like, she had to really, really, you know, keep coming around and talk to me. Like, this woman encouraged me to sign up for Lamaze classes and actually became my birthing coach. Are you for real? And she told me, Tanya, when you get ready to have a baby, call me. I'm going to be there with you to help you through it. And then there was another woman, Janet Wright, who I love to this day, who literally became my mentor. She was one of the most transparent women that I had ever known. And I'm between 16 and 17, because I turned 17 before I had my daughter. But, you talk about, told me some stuff about her life that it was jaw-dropping. And she said to me, Tanya, you see, I'm just like you. I'm no different. I made some mistakes, but I'm no different. And but all the other people who had their nose up in the air, we talking about ex-dolphins and ex-hoes. You heard me, H-O, with our top three CS. H-O, you know, and I'm talking people who committed welfare fraud. Because my dad had, not everybody, but that's the ministry that he had. He served the underserved. And then, you know, they learned a couple of little scriptures, and now they have their nose all up in the air looking down their nose at me. Girl, bye. Oh, nobody care about you. I remember you when you first, and I will tell them, I remember you when you first got to this church. I remember how toe up you was, calling my daddy all the time. So I built up this wall of resistance, and I began to hate them because they were phony and fake to me. You up in the church talking about Jesus, 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 flopping and shouting all over the place, but you want to look down your nose at me. Get out of here. And don't even try to come and say something to me. Like, I really had to show up. But, you know, my parents were guilty by association. They had to deal with mom. It was harder on my mom than it was my dad. My dad was cool. Well, you know, it happened. My mom, she would dig at me, you know, because she was disappointed. She didn't want another baby in the house. Her kids were, you know, I can understand it. But my dad was the most calm about it. But mom was just like, oh, my God. But once the baby got here, oh, my God, you would have thought it was her baby. But I thank God for, and I'm going to close on this. I thank God for the people in my life that were, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so transparent, because I made a decision I was not going to live a fake life like that. And if somebody was in trouble, if somebody messed up, saved or not, and I could help them or give them an encouraging word, I kind of made up my mind without realizing it that I would do that. And that's why I kind of live my life as transparent as I do, because I feel like my story might be able to help somebody. So, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do.
Yeah. Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Okay. And then I wanted to talk.
Wait. Okay. Wait. Somebody else. I heard somebody else say something. Was that the
missus? That was me, Tanya. Yes.
Okay. So it'll be Dee Dee, and then it'll be the missus in that order.
Okay, I just wanted to say I thank you so much, because that judging thing, and I get it. I think as Christians, sometimes you said it so well. You learn a few scriptures and you forgot what you came from, what you got delivered from. And you, when those people, or us, me, fall from grace, when Tim was talking about that pastor who fell from grace and the church couldn't forgive him and, you know, his life changed. And maybe he did do some of the stuff, I don't know. But he realized his mistake and seems to have repented and wasn't guilty of whatever, but that's what happens. We get talked about, we get judged, we get treated like Patty said, like she had a disease. But this is what we do. This is Christians. When God does not do that to us, He doesn't throw us away. He's a graceful God. He'll pick us up. And so that's why I'm so grateful, and that's why I know we connect the way that we do, because we don't have that right. Yeah, you can judge people, ask them, I get all that, but do you judge them to a point where you break them down, you tear them down? We're supposed to lift them up, and the church has done that, and even to this day, especially young girls that get pregnant, they are treated like they have something else instead of loving them back like God did, because each and every one of us is possible. We can all fall. We all fall. Just like you said, get the perfect opportunity. So you may not embezzle. You may not, whatever it is, but we all can fall. And we have to remember it's grace and mercy and love that can put us back where we belong. God will pick us up. But we are so good at judging people because, like you said, you learn a scripture, you learn how to shout, and you got your nose up. We have to stop doing that. We have to stop. We have to. I'm even talking about some of us still on this line trying to figure it out. It doesn't matter, because we too have stuff. I know I'm still trying to get delivered from things that I am still struggling with. None of us are perfect, but it's His grace and His mercy. And I'm just so grateful for this, that, well, they all are. So thank you, sister. I love you.
Love you more. Go ahead, Cheryl, Mrs.
I just wanted to say that I was saved. I got saved when I was 17, but I had stepped out of the will of God, and I had got pregnant with Marcus, and I felt so shame and so embarrassed and so hurt because I didn't want no more kids out of wedlock, but I wanted to be married when I had my second child, but it happened. And my mom was talking to Dr. Walker, and she was telling him some things, you know, that I was going through. And he said, was nothing going to happen to that child? That child was going to be born, and he was going to be a blessing. So he was going to be a disgrace, but he was going to be a blessing. And that was Marcus, right? So, I, you know, at that time, I used to do a lot of the singing and stuff at the church. But Dr. Walker, you know how they used to do, they used to put us on silence. So they put me on silence where I couldn't participate in any of the choir, or I couldn't do anything. But it was very shameful and embarrassing to me at that time. But, you know, Marcus turned out to be a blessing, and, you know, like Dr. Walker said, you know, and I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Mrs. Yep, that was the old school. They didn't put me on silence because I wasn't trying to be saved, but, you know, it happened. You know, that's just the general rule that, you know, when we did something, that was the remedy at that time. I don't really know if churches kind of still operate in the Church of God in Christ, not all churches. Because you got to wonder, like Cheryl was saying, the missus was saying, she could have easily made a decision, I'm not going back. Because it's embarrassing. Why, every time I go there, I feel, you know, they won't let me exercise. I mean, still, there was a perfect opportunity. It took a strong person to actually go through something like that and stand. And Marcus is an amazing blessing to so many. And you know what else, Cheryl? I know you probably won't remember this, but when I was pregnant with Mika, I think we had come from a church picnic or some kind of activity, and I went. And somehow I was riding with you. I can't remember if you were driving or whatever. And I don't know, I might have been 7 or 8 months pregnant at the time. And I remember you saying how that it's going to be so special when you have your baby. And, you know, they're going to, I don't know how we got on the subject of, you know, feeding them, and you know how back in the old school, I know you younger mothers probably don't do this, but we didn't use food grinders. We used our teeth, and we fed our babies. You know, we would chew up a little bit, and then we would feed our babies that way. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, that's so gross. And the missus said, girl, you're going to be doing all kinds of things. They're going to slob in your soda can, and you're going to drink right behind them. I was like, no, I'm not. But Cheryl was not, that I know of, she was not one of those people that she didn't treat me different. We didn't hang out, but she was an adult. We didn't hang out, but I never forget that. That popped up in my mind as you shared your experience. I had forgotten about that, probably wasn't paying attention and really didn't care, you know, whatever, life goes on. But
here's
what I want to, yeah.
This is Debbie Ryan. My phone is really acting up today. So when you have time, I'd like to finish my comment that I was making earlier. Did you hear part of it?
You had just started, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. And I believe your question was, if I can remember correctly, how do you react when there's a trial that comes at you and you didn't? It was something like that. Can you refresh my memory, please?
So, yeah, my question was, and I don't remember how I phrased it either, but it was along the lines of, what is your remedy for overcoming a situation that you didn't cause, but you're right in the heat of it? You know, there's no way around it. You're definitely, it's something that's assigned to you. How do you recover from it? How do you, you know, keep yourself level or what have you? Keep yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think I was just going to make a short comment saying that when a trial comes at me where I'm kind of like hit, blindsided, and sometimes, you know, I'm right in the midst of the trial and I can't think clearly, but the first thing that I'm really learning, and I've been doing it for a while, is that I try to take a pause moment. And when I take that pause moment, sometimes I may not be able to think of the scripture that I need, but I would most definitely, especially when I'm on the road and somebody's almost hit me, I will most definitely ask the Lord for his help. And that's what I usually do when I'm in the midst of where something come up me blindsided and it's easily where I can go left on it, but I have to regroup myself and take that pause moment, and then I ask the Lord for his help. That's what I was going to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Very, very appropriate to ask God for help, and it doesn't have to be a fancy get on your knees, wear a sackcloth and ashes. It could be the thing just hit you, and you realize, oh, my God, I need your help. Like, I don't know what to do. And you might have to say that several times as you go through the situation. The last thing that I do want to leave with you is to just to reflect upon the birth of Jesus, not the food and the gifts and the, you know, traveling to grandma's house and possible family drama. You have the ability to take authority over the atmosphere. And if the atmosphere is not the way that you want it to be, you have been equipped. If you've been on this call any of the time, you've been equipped to change the atmosphere and make it one that is peaceful. And if there's too much going on, you can get in your car or get on the bus and go back home. Or you can ask people to leave if they get that bad. But, you know, you can take authority over the atmosphere, and you can command the day. So I'm going to advise you to think about that. Don't get stressed out about what you do or don't have. I have made a decision. If I'm not able to buy my grandchildren anything, we're going to have an amazing time when we get together, period, because it's not their birthday. I would love to be able to lavish them, not in a position to do that right now, but I do know that I can love on them, and I can share stories with them, and I can tell them about the birth of Jesus, and while we're celebrating, we're not celebrating Santa Claus, which is a myth. We are celebrating what we have set aside or what society has set aside as the birth of Jesus and how special it is. Do you realize how special his birth is? Read the story of Matthew if you get a chance today, or make the time to do it.
and just reflective on His goodness and the fact that God chose you. He chose you out of all of the people in the world, and He knew this time would come. Before the foundations of the world were created, He knew that we would be engaged in a conversation like this on the eve of the time where we acknowledge the birth, the miraculous birth of His Son, and all of that, and everything that that encompasses. So I want to encourage you today. I'm going to run. I've got a bunch of stuff to do, and I don't want to hold you guys from getting your day started. I love all of you. I'm so thankful that I've been able to develop friendships and relationships with so many people, some of whom I've never seen. But I appreciate you and respect you as my family, and I thank God for you. I've been healed on this line. I have grown on this line. I have discovered things about myself on this line, and it has been an amazing journey, and I am looking forward to what God has for us for 2016. So with that, tell somebody that Jesus is the greatest gift. And have a great day, you guys. I love you.
Be blessed and encouraged.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Have a great day, everybody. Be safe.